And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. You are tuned into WWGH Radio on this Tuesday, April the 3rd, 2018. April showers certainly are the case today here in Ohio. 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I want to do a little bit of housekeeping before we get to our first guest here, and boy, I'm excited about our first guest, so don't leave the radio. Don't go anywhere. Coming up Thursday on this program at 12:10, we'll have legendary radio talk show host Barry Farber on. Barry Farber was the forerunner to Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, all of those guys, conservative radio talk show legend, pioneer, member of the Radio Hall of Fame, Barry Farber, 12:10 on Thursday. Also on Thursday at 11:10 a.m., we're going to be joined by Jody Serling. Jody Serling is the daughter of Rod Serling of The Twilight Zone. She will be on to talk about her famous father Thursday at 11:10. And actually, Rod Serling went to college in Ohio and also spent some time here in Marion working at a radio station in the 1950s. So Jody Serling, the daughter of Rod Serling, Thursday at 11:10. Tomorrow on this program, it's going to be a commemorative day because tomorrow is the 50th anniversary commemoration, maybe we should call it, of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. At 12:10 tomorrow, we will be joined by his attorney and speechwriter, helped him write the I Have a Dream speech, Clarence B. Jones, tomorrow at 12:10. And at 1:10 tomorrow, we'll be joined by two great actors. You know them well. William Daniels, from St. Elsewhere and the TV series Boy Meets World. He was Mr. Feeney. And his wife, Bonnie Bartlett, who was also on both of those series, St. Elsewhere and Boy Meets World. So they'll be on together at 1:10 tomorrow. And at 1:10 today, we've got Bill Macy, who was Walter Finley on the TV series Maude. So what a week we have. Also in the movie The Jerk and all kinds of other great films at 1:10 today. But forget all that, because today, here's our guest for this hour. On Sunday, April the 8th, our guest will turn 92 years old. And we wanted to have him on before that birthday because he is one of our favorite guests, if not the favorite guest. He has the greatest talk show host story, talk show guest story, I guess I should say, in the history of talk shows. He makes us laugh. He makes us feel better. He's the best, I guess is one way to put it. Legendary comedian welcoming back to these microphones, Shecky Green. Shecky, how are you?
Wait just one second. I'm going to tell you what. You call and the dog is barking.
This happened last time. This is like a deja vu.
Yeah, you mean the dog was barking the last time?
The dog was barking. The dog doesn't like me, I don't think.
No, she must have relatives in Ohio.
What kind of dog is it, Jackie?
It's a Havanese. A Havanese is a dog from Havana that came over by inner tube.
Is that how that? Shecky, you got the big 92 coming up Sunday.
It's frightening to say that and to hear it. As soon as I hear that date of 92 years old, my voice changes. I become an older Jewish fellow. Hello, how are you? I want to tell you something. I'll be 92 years old. And I want to tell you something. I do nothing but go to temple.
Do you have any big plans for Sunday?
Can I tell you something? At this age, just getting up in the morning is big plans. I want to tell you I've gone through 92. I don't know what I possibly can do. I remember when I was a younger man, I'd get up in the morning and I'd have a special plan. But now I just sit around praying my friend I hope to God that this is not the end. 92's okay, but I want to get to 93. Will you wish me? Okay, what else?
Well, I mean, will you have a cake or something? Will something go on? Balloons?
No. Could I tell you something? I got a little diabetes now, I think. And a cake is out. And if no matter what, you know, you watch television and they show these the different pills, and I got everything that they show on television. You know, it says, but if you have this pill, don't take it if you got this and that and this. But it's when you get 92, you just can't believe it. You just sit there and you say, well, where did it go so fast?
Did your parents live a long time?
My father did. My father, to aggravate people. And my mother, I think my mother died earlier to get away from my father.
Well,
they were married 70 years, but they stopped talking to each other after 5 years. They went all those other years without talking to each other.
No, wait a second. Married 70 years, these people had to have been up in their 80s and 90s.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Well, you got good longevity. That's why you're living a long time. You got good.
Hey, just want to tell you, young fella, you'd be surprised. Can I tell you something? The worst thing in the world is when you get to this age and you got to sit in a doctor's office and you lose your name. You're just called Next. That's all. The girl comes out and says, Next. 12 people jump up to go inside.
You know, Shecky, when we were scheduling this interview today, we had to do it at this time because you have a doctor's appointment this afternoon, I understand.
Yes, I broke my leg, you know, and then because of the broke, I got a bad hip and that same leg. The knee is bad, and it's one thing after another.
Now, do you still?
But it gives you things to talk about. People call you, hello, how are you? And then you spend an hour telling them.
Well, do you still get around?
I want to tell you I got trouble with my hip. What?
Do you still get around okay?
Yes. I use a cane. I use a walker. And then I got a guy, I jump on his back. He takes me around. But, I get around all right, you know.
Well,
at 92, you've seen everything.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, and there are two things I want to do here to check off in this interview before we get rolling here. Now, you have been credited with telling the greatest joke in the history of jokes about Frank Sinatra. Now, tell the Frank Sinatra joke.
Well, actually, Frank, the Frank Sinatra joke is really a true story. But everything that ever happened in my life, I made humor out of, you know?
Right.
Like being born. But people say, what was your name, you know, when you were born? Is it Shecky Green your real name? No, my real name was, because that's the first thing I heard from my mother when I was born. they called me, for years, you know. Every time my mother looked at me, she'd go, But what was the thing again we're talking about?
The Frank Sinatra joke.
Oh, that's right. I was intentionally forgetting that. Frank Sinatra and I worked together in Florida at the Fountain Blue Hotel. And he saved my life, Frank, because five guys were beating me up, and I heard Frank say, that's enough.
Now, that's a true story?
That's really a true story.
Now, why were five guys beating you up?
Could I tell you, I get calls from all over the world about my 7 weeks with Sinatra. We had, I don't think that he had any other individual like me working with him.
Now, was he in the mob? That was the thing. Was he? Did he have connections?
It's not that he was in the mob. Listen, I was with as close to Sam Giancana as anybody in this world. I, for many years, Sam Giancana was like a godfather. I never knew who he was. But all I knew is that I kept working for these people, you know? And Frank Sinatra is the same way, because everybody in show business wanted to be connected with those kind of guys. I don't know why, you know. Everybody wanted, some guy to say, "Hey, I want to tell you the truth. You know, I'll meet you Friday. I'll take you for a good Italian meal. You ever have a good Italian meal?" But everybody wanted to be around a guy like that. I don't know why. You know, except later on. It's like in New Orleans, everybody talks like, I wanna tell you, everybody, this is in New Orleans. That's because when they're born, the doctor don't hit them in the keister, the doctor hits them in the throat. And everybody, and all those guys talk that way. I don't know what I'm talking about. Tell you, it's kind of early.
No, it's good. It's good. I love it. And then the other, we have deemed this the funniest story in talk show history. We have to go back to Hervé Villechaize and your guest spot on Fantasy Island. Now, for people who don't remember, now, there was a show on television in the 70s called Fantasy Island, and Ricardo Montalban was on this show, and little 4-foot Hervé Villechaize.
Was he 4 feet?
I don't know. You knew him better than I did. I don't know. Was he 4 foot?
I don't think anybody knew this little... I don't know what he was.
He was short.
And he was short.
And they were the stars of this show on network television, and Hervé was from South America. Now, where was Ricardo from?
He also was from South America.
So South America.
But you want to know what's very funny? I really don't remember exactly where he was from, Ricardo.
Well, it could have been
Spain. It could have been, I know it wasn't Mexico.
Well, this is the setup. Now, your guest starring on Fantasy Island, you arrive to the set late, and here's what happens.
I arrive late, and they're all standing around waiting for me, you know? And I get there, and I apologize to everybody. And then this little guy, he says, "I want to tell you what you made everybody wait for you. What's the matter with you? You know?" Well, that started that thing. Now a girl comes over to me, her name Linda, and they say that's his wife, he just got married, the little guy. And she says, "Shecky, could I get you some coffee?" I says, "Oh, that would be lovely." He says, "I want to tell you, don't talk to my wife, I'm going to kill you. You're going to talk to, don't talk to my wife, I don't want you to talk to my wife, okay?" So I kept on. I said, "This little guy is after me, you know," and he would threaten you. And Ricardo says, "Shecky wants to tell you something. Don't worry about this little guy. But he's just yells a lot. But he's okay, you know." I says, "Okay." So near the end, and we're going into this lane. He says, "I want to tell you something. I don't like you, okay?" "And I wonder that if Ricardo is your friend, yes?" I said, "Yes." And that was, I had to stay away from this. Later on, they found him with a gun, and he threatened everybody. And I don't know whether he finally committed suicide or what he did, or he just evaporated.
Now, he pulled a gun on you, did he not, Checky?
Well, he had the gun. He showed me the gun. You know, he was just going to... "I want to tell you, sir, you see what I got? I got a gun. I get on the internet. I'm in the hotel. I got him. I got the rest." I had that translated. It wasn't good.
Now, but Ricardo, I guess, had become... You know, nothing bothered him. He didn't care.
No, nothing. He was a one wonderful, magnificent man.
Oh, God. Well, what were you doing on Fantasy Island?
You know, I played a part of a con man. I had a daughter or something, and I was going to sell them... Oh, I was selling the little guy a property. And I had an English accent. I said, "I don't very much to get you these 40 acres. and you're going to certainly love them. I want to tell you, I don't want to, let me see if I'm going to buy it. I said, okay. And then I had this accent, you know. I don't know. I always did accents and characters, and nobody ever knew it in my career. They never used me for that. Later on, they used me like a Rickles. I was way before Rickles. Then all of a sudden, every comic that came out of Las Vegas was supposed to be an insulter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And never did they really ever use Shucky Green. Then I used it nothing but characters.
You know, that,
matter of fact, now that I'm 92, I'm really mad about that.
Well, okay, well, you can still do. I mean, would you like to go back and do some work?
No. They got enough. They got enough. But
no, wait.
You know what's amazing? I you get to this age and everything else, and somebody says, "You want to go see so-and-so?" And then you say, "Yeah, but I got to get dressed. I got to go. Well, first I take a shower. I got to get dressed. Then I got to go in the car." Nah, never mind.
Well, you know, I just made a connection here, Shecky. Last week, Roseanne came back to television, had gigantic ratings, 18 million. You were on Roseanne.
Yeah. Very enthusiastically. Yeah.
You played an uncle or something, did you not?
I played, there was a bar mitzvah or something. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't really know this woman, but I saw her in action. My friend managed her at the beginning, Arlene Rothberg from Chicago. And she had a lot of trouble with her. Finally, I guess she paid Arlene off and everything. But I went and I did the show, and I heard her tell a bunch of little kids. She said something, but they should shut up. And she really told them. And I said to John Goodman, "Is she this way all the time?" You know. And he sort of covered it up for her. And then when this thing came back on, I says, "My God, what would Goodman do this for?" But evidently they're giving Goodman a piece of the show and a lot of money, you know. But with all the things that she did, and the singing the song, the Star Spangled Banner, was screaming at that time. Do you remember that?
I do. I don't know why she did that.
Because she's an idiot, that's why. There's some people that are going to be show that they're better than or bigger than anybody else. I'll do what I want to do. You'll tell me what to do, but I'll do what I want to do.
Well, I think that's what's good, because I think improvisation is where you should be, because you're a genius at that.
No, genius. No, what's Van Gogh was a genius, but he cut off one ear, and people said, "Van Gogh, you're a genius." He went, "Ha, ha, ha, ha." And then he painted your picture.
So, 92, Shecky, have you maintained a diet, an exercise plan? How do you get to be 92?
No, but I'm in too much pain. I mean, I broke my leg. Both knees are bad. The hips are gone all together. I need an operation. Because I can't get an operation, I've been limping. I fall all over and crawl to the walker. It's a wonderful life, you know? Most of my day is spent, get me, oh God, get me the walker. Oh God. It's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. At 92, look what God did to the Jew. He made me hurt all over. I don't know what to say. Soon they're going to take me away, and they're going to put me in the clover. Hey, okay. I am completely insane at 92. Okay. Can I tell you something?
Would you have been this way at 72?
Not quite, but 92, you can get away with this, because you just tell people, you know, as soon as I finish, they're going to take me back to the nursing home.
Now, you're still married, Shecky. Is your wife younger than you are?
My wife is, yes, my wife is younger than I am. She's 11 years younger.
Oh.
But I fooled her because I made her 11 years older in her birth certificate.
But she's still happily married. You have kids and
yes.
a whole bit. Well, that's good.
My wife her father was Vito Musso, a very famous saxophone player that played with Tommy Dorsey and Stan Kenton, and he was a very famous, wonderful man.
Do you have a lot of family left?
Let's see. Do I have a lot of family? I have my two daughters, my two adopted daughters that I used to use a joke. I said, I have two adopted daughters, and I tell you guys, because I'm looking for the real parents to give them back. I told that joke, and my kids both jumped up in an audience and left. I haven't seen them since.
Do you have any nieces or nephews or brothers or sisters or any of that?
I have a brother that's lying on the floor in Milwaukee. He's on the way out. He's 2.5 years older than I am. And
you have a brother who's 94?
Yes.
And he's still living in Milwaukee.
Well, being in Milwaukee is not exactly living.
Is he well?
No, he's not. He's not... One of those, he was the healthiest guy in the world, physical, everything else. And then one day, bing.
It just hit him.
That's what happens to people who just, you're on your way to breakfast. Somebody's, what happened to him? He had a stroke in the living room.
Oh.
He was coming in for coffee. He had a stroke in the living room. Oh. Well, then bring him his coffee in the living room. Well, make jokes of everything. Laugh, folks.
That's right.
Can I tell you something? It's a wonderful world if you make it a wonderful world.
Well, that's how you live a long life. Now, are you?
Yes.
Are you still?
Don't worry about anything. And if you got bad friends, get rid of them immediately. Okay.
Yeah. What? Are you still able to talk to your brother?
What happens, his son calls me, and he puts him on the phone, and my brother really can't, but my brother understands, so I make up songs for him. Hey, Marv, we're both kind of old, but can I tell you, when you're this old, it's cold. I love you, my friend, I love you till the end. I love you, my brother, Marv. I do all kinds of things like that.
Well, that's good that you have family. Do you have good nieces and nephews? Are you a good uncle?
When you live far away from people, when you were young, you lived in a certain neighborhood, and you were brought up in that neighborhood, and you had the friends from that neighborhood, you had friends, but then all of a sudden, after the war, everything spread out. People moved to California, people moved to Florida, people moved all over, and little by little, we got away from everybody. We'd get out, use on a phone, and call on the phone and say, hello, how are you? And that was it. It wasn't like that communal, wonderful life that you had, family life,
Oh, it spreads out. Now, we're having Rod Serling's daughter on Thursday. Did you ever deal with Rod Serling?
No. I wanted to buy his suits. We were the same size. No, I never dealt with Rod Serling.
But you did deal with Ed Sullivan.
Well, Ed Sullivan, yeah, because that was something to get on the Ed Sullivan show. Being on Steve Allen or Johnny Carson, I never did the other guy that had the show between Steve Allen and Johnny.
Oh, Jack Parr.
Jack Parr. I don't know why. Jack Parr never... He had a thing with Hackett. Hackett went to Japan with Jack Parr, and Hackett said, I was in Japan with Jack Parr, and Jack Parr and I went to a pseudo wrestling, and the guy, he says, they wear that thing on their bodies, he says, and they have a stick in the back, and they tighten that stick, so that gets into the groin, and they keep tightening that. He said, they tighten it so, he says, you'll fight anybody.
Buddy Hackett. Boy, there was a classic guy. What kind of guy was he off stage?
Good and bad. Which you want to hear? Well, the good or the bad?
We got time for both.
Well, Buddy Hackett was probably thought he was the smartest guy in the world, and he was a pretty bright man, but he had a well, we call it in Jewish we call it a shtick, you know, he had a shtick that he would put into you. It was like a knife. He could tell people off. One day a lady, I was sitting having lunch with him, and an older lady comes over, and she's got a paper, and she says, "Mr. Hackett, could you please autograph this?" He says, "Don't you know I'm eating here?" He says, "Lady, don't you see me eating here?" She says, "I'm sorry." She says, "All right." She takes the paper, puts it in the salad with
man.
The oil, and signs it, and gives it back to her. And that's the kind of things he did. That's what you call a shtick.
What? Who did you know George Burns well?
Shaggy, I want to tell you something. I know you were a friendly bud with Buddy, and don't ever give him anything to sign. He puts it in the salad. I told my wife at one time. I said, you know, I says I try to work alone. I couldn't do it. Gracie, without you, I'm nothing. I want to tell you, without Gracie, I'm nothing but just a guy. I want to tell you, I walk around why I'm looking for my Gracie. He was wonderful.
You know, I used to love, he used to sing those old, old songs. I used to love
I made them up. He was just unbelievable.
He lived to be 100.
He what?
He
made 100. Yeah, he made 100. He was going to work at Caesar's Palace when he slept in the shower. He would have lived to 200, but he fell in the shower.
Now, how close were you with him?
Oh, whenever I saw him, it was like love.
Yeah.
I just loved being near him. One day I'm at Chasen's in Los Angeles. Beverly Hills, and I had my mother, my dad, and my brother, and his wife, and George Burns comes in, and he sits down, and I know my mother loved George Burns, and my mother was a little bit out of it at that time, she getting a little flaky, and so I wanted to go over, so I go over, and I said, "George," I says, "my mother's over there, could I bring her over and say hello to you?" "Hey, Shaka, I want to tell you something. I got a young girl coming to the table in a few minutes. Girl's about 22. And I don't want your mother to see that. So later on, okay?" Oh, God, those guys.
Oh, Bob.
Now, cut that out. George, I want to tell you, you've always got me laughing, and cut that out. Sing, Dennis. "Oh, gee, Mr. Benny, can I sing? Oh, Shecky Green's 92. What are we going to do? We're going to get him a cake. Make no mistake. Put 92 candles and burn down the house." Okay.
Now, Jack Benny, boy, he was a funny, funny man.
Well, Jack Benny, I'm going to be very honest with you. You see, I didn't know so much about these young guys, but the older guys, if you ask me about it. Jack Benny worked like Frank Fay. Now, you don't remember Frank Fay, you're too young.
Yes.
Do you remember who Frank Fay was?
Well, he held the paws. Didn't he used to do what do they call that? They just stare at the audience.
He would do what?
Didn't he used to just stare at the audience? Tell a joke?
No, Frank Fay was one of the first MCs in theaters. You know, when they had vaudeville and everything. And he had a delivery exactly like Benny's. That's where Benny got that delivery, from Frank Fay.
But was Benny a nice man?
Was Frank Fay?
Was Benny a nice man?
Oh, Benny was the best. Benny was the best. He was a sweet, wonderful man. Frank Fay wasn't. Frank Fay was a kind of tough. He was a devout Catholic, and he was married to Barbara Stanwyck when her name was Ruby something. He brought her into the movies, Frank Faye.
Now, what about Bob Hope? He lived to 100 as well.
Bob Hope and I were very close friends. Bob Hope, and this is what I tell you is a true story. Matter of fact, I got his pictures, two pictures in my bedroom. Bob Hope would call me, and he'd say, oh, there's that dog. Could you get rid of that dog?
Come here.
Shoot that dog. Bob Hope called me from Iowa, and I was working at the College Inn in Chicago, and he said, what time do you go on? I says, 9 o'clock. He says, hold the show, I'll be there. I said, what? He said, I'll be there. So I held the show. He got an Air Force plane, got on that plane, and flew to Chicago to make my show. And then he did the show with me. And he would do that a lot of places that I worked. And what's funny is he had this show. He had everybody on it. I was only on it once for 3 seconds. I put on shorts like I was running in a race, and I ran across the stage, and that was it. That's the only thing I ever did. I also did a show for him, for the President Ford. I did that in Colorado. Anything he asked, I did.
Now, Bob, so he was a nice man as well.
Bob was a very wonderful man. Cheap, as cheap as any human being can be. There's something from all their backgrounds. It has nothing to do with their personality. It has a lot to do with their backgrounds. Bob was cheap. Bing Crosby once told him about the property, and they all bought. They bought up the whole valley between Bing Crosby and Bob Hope.
Now, what was Bob's line? But I want to tell you.
What, he did that?
Yeah, I think that was his line.
Well, what happens when you got a comic and you got a thing like that that they say? Look at the way I'm a fun at 92. when you that's to get your timing. In other words, when you say something before that you deliver, that's getting your timing.
Now, was Bob a good stand-up comedian in your opinion?
Oh, well, I mean, he wasn't. After a while, he wasn't. He was an institution. Whether he was good, Bob, just being there was great. When these people were there, they didn't have to say a word. You know what I mean? They became so popular, and they were so wonderful that we got to love them. And that's what happens today. You don't have that. You got great comics and wonderful things, but they don't stay like these people did.
Now, did you ever have a favorite television appearance that you made?
Did I ever have a... Yeah, yes, the one I made with the Groucho Marx.
Groucho Marx.
Yes.
Whoop.
Yes.
Groucho
was
one.
It was the Hollywood Palace.
Now, Groucho was a great guy, was he not?
I loved Groucho. I loved him. Groucho was, this is a very arrogant what I'm going to say. I was working at the Riviera, Groucho Marx came in. He went by that time. He was 92, I think, you know. And he had a little knit cap, and I was right in the middle of my show. He stood up and he said, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to tell you something. This is one of the finest entertainers you'll ever see in your life. This boy is brilliant. And it really took to me. And, he and I were close anyway.
Well, I tell you, this is kind of interesting. Let's go back. I had this ready. April 17th, 1965, Hollywood Palace. Here's Groucho Marx introducing Shecky Green. Here we go.
Right.
Let's see if we can get this queued up.
I regret to say I'm now obliged to present a very talented comedian. Well, that's the way life is. Later, I intend to talk to him about that. My wife is crazy about him. And later, I intend to talk to both of them about that. Here he is, Shaky Green.
Thank you, Groucho. I think that's the most important thing in our business, a nice introduction. Because I had an introduction one time on a television show about 8 years ago, almost destroyed my career the way I was brought out. There's a guy on Sunday nights, I forget his name right now, but...
He's tonight on our show. Well, I'd like very much, ladies and gentlemen, introduce a young, fat, fat, young, fat, young, fat, a young, fat.
Made it sound like there was a Chinese comic coming out. Meantime, I'm backstage trying to lose weight fast.
And here he is right now, ladies and gentlemen, Chicky, Shikey, Chucky, whatever the heck his name is. And I ran out and said, thank you, Edie, Idie, Oodie. Whatever your name is.
Actually, I've never worked a show after that, and that's one of the reasons why I'm glad I got the opportunity to tell you about it now.
April 17th, 1965, Hollywood Palace, Shaky Green with...
Now, let me tell you what happened. We walked off the stage, and I got a call. And the call is for me to do a charity, you know? And I'm talking about the charity, and he grabs the phone, Groucho. He says, let me have that phone. He says, listen, whoever this is, would you just go to a doctor and ask him to cut you an operation for nothing? Would you go to a plumber and say, fix me a piece of pipe for nothing? Don't call him again. And hung up the phone. He said, don't ever do anything for nothing.
Now, Shaky, this is 1965 at the height of the Ed Sullivan Show. Now, did Ed give you any feedback on bringing him up like that?
I don't think he knew. But everybody was doing Ed Sullivan, so it didn't make a difference. Every comic and everything was doing it. Because just Ed Sullivan was funny. He'd come over with that little humpback he had, you know, and he couldn't lift up the neck and the head all the way. You know, and that's why the voice didn't come out altogether. You know, tonight on our show, and I want tonight on our show, he didn't even know he was on tonight on the show.
Now, in that bit, you said you never did the show, but you did do the show. So, after...
What show?
The Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, many times.
Yeah. Now, tell me, you told us about the time it was his anniversary. Tell us about another time you were on with Ed. Did it ever go well?
No. I never prepared for anything. Nothing ever went well with me with television. It wasn't me, you know. They should have just come to my house and taped me at my house. I should have never gone to a studio.
So what?
But also, let me tell you, there are also people in charge of talent. When you got a great talent or any talent, a great talent, they always got Marlo Lewis that worked for him. The different people in these different shows. These are non-talented human beings. Non-sequitous human beings that are in charge of talented people. And there's that thing that they're telling the talented people what to do. These non-talented people telling the talented people what to do. And that was wrong with television.
So when,
hey, that's a very good analysis.
That's very good. I might put
analogy.
I'm going to write that down. Now, when you went on Ed Sullivan and you came off, was he ever pleased? Did he say, way to go, Shaky, good job?
Never.
Never.
As a matter of fact, the things that I did on his show, he ended up calling it the green room, which they eventually called all of those things the green room because of me. I did things that he wasn't happy with, so he says, from then on, every comic had to go do his routine up in his office.
Oh, really?
Right now, I want to hear what you're going to do on my show. I don't want any surprises. Now, the funny thing about it, if you're sitting in just an office with Ed Sullivan and you're doing comedy to Ed Sullivan, could you imagine that? This man had no sense of humor whatsoever. He didn't know what was funny, what was not funny.
Now, wait a second here. We hear about the green room all the time. The green room is named for Shaky Green?
Well, you know something? I don't want to say that, but I will say that.
Well, go ahead.
That particular time, he called it, go to the green, when Shecky Green did that. He did that on the show, go to that room.
Well, see, I always wondered why it was called the green room.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's all of the places after that. But in my arrogance, I said that someone named after me.
So
I'm frumping a lot today.
No, that was good. So you after that, you know, you ticked Ed off. So now you have to go and perform in his office. Now, what was that experience like?
Oh, I did only one time, and that was it. I told him forget the show.
Well, what you went in, and what happened?
I said, millions of people out there are not going to laugh. Why are you individually going to laugh in your office?
Did he have a reply?
Well, no, later after everything was over, and his show was way, he and I became very, very close. And I enjoyed that thing. He was a little bit out of it, but it was enjoyable to be with this guy, you know, just thinking who he was and what he did. He was a sports writer, and then he was this, well, I told you, remember I told you how he ended up doing that show?
Yeah, well, I don't mean to make fun of the man, but where did his neck go? Did he have, like, a chiropractic problem? Was there an issue there?
He had the round shoulder, you know?
He just looked...
And that gave him personality.
He looked uncomfortable.
Yeah, you look like when you pass your butt, you're going to hand him a banana.
Now... What's the best
right here on my show? Shecky gonna bring me a banana.
Did you ever have a good experience? Not during the time when the show was on. Tell me about your favorite experience with him. Did anything he said that was just fascinating?
No, I told you that the one great thing with Fred Sullivan, and I mean one great, a lot of great. I walked into the theater, I told you that, and he says, Shecky, he was on the stage with Tony Martin, and he says, come on up here, Shecky, I want to talk to you, and I came up, and I said, and he pushed Tony Martin aside, and he says, Shecky Green is the biggest thing in Miami Beach. I said, that's wonderful. I said, I haven't played there in 2 years. Not you, you idiot. The dog. They had a dog that won a race. Biscayne Handicap in Miami, and he said the dog was the biggest thing in Miami Beach.
So Ed was a gambler.
Well, he was a sportsman. So when I went on the stage, I just barked for 3 minutes, and instead of doing my I barked like the dog. And I said, now I'm the biggest thing in Miami.
Now, back in that clip from the Hollywood Palace...
That's what you call reaching. When you're looking for a joke, that's called reaching just now.
We were reaching. Well, we'll get there. Back in back on the Hollywood Palace, he called you fat? Was that true, or was that part of the joke?
No, that was... Well, that's part of the joke. You know, it's amazing... Is that every once in a while when they show Ed Sullivan, they show a little piece of something I did, and what the thing that they show is he hated, you know, and I was surprised that they used that in the promo.
But would he tell you he hated it?
No, but you knew. He'd walk away, he'd stomp, you know. He thought that he knew show business. He thought that he was the greatest producer in the world. You could not convince him. Right here, I looked all over this country and all over Europe and India for this elephant that I'm bringing on right now. It's probably is the best elephant in the world. And I said to him, how do you know about elephants?
And of course, his favorite...
Wait till you hear the noise he comes from that trunk. Nobody does that.
And of course, his favorite was Senor Wences and Topo Gigio.
Hello, Ed. How are you? No, that's a Topo Gigio. Hello, Ed. How are you? That's because he can... Well, anything he can take part of. When any performer brought him back out to work with him, he loved that. That made him feel like a performer.
You know, I've been keeping track here. George Burns lived to be 100. Bob Hope lived to be 100. Senor Wences lived to be 103. You've got 10 years left, Shecky.
Oh. You mean I got to go back and see those doctors again?
You do.
I'm going to run out of the insurance. I'm going to get a call from the insurance company and say, that's it.
No, you made big money, didn't you, Shecky?
You know, it made big money. I got a check for $100,000 every week and for those weeks. And I don't understand it. For the same thing I did when I was doing for $10 a week, I was getting $100,000 a week. But by the time I did it for $100,000, I got to know it well.
Now listen, Shecky, do people still approach you to do things?
Yes.
Okay, I want you, okay, here, my friend to a friend, I want you to do something on television because I want to see you again. You're a masterful comic. You're fun to watch. You make me genuinely laugh. I want to see you do something.
You mean work?
Yeah, I want you to work a little bit.
You want what? Get me a place in Cleveland. What was the place at that big theater that I worked in? That Circle Theater.
The Circle. Well, could you? You would come out. You could sit down. You know, Bill Cosby used to do that. Just come out and sit down, and tell these people.
I know. One time, a lot of times that Bill Cosby didn't sit down, that he should have sat down.
You know, I knew I was setting you up there.
Could I tell you something? I did the most. Forget about Bill Cosby. It's just disgusting in general with all of this stuff. You know, and I look back in my life, and when I see a girl that I like or something, and I think about it now, and I say, what gets into people? It's just not normal.
Well, here's the deal, Shecky. This is what I'm going to work on. You'll be 92 on Sunday. Celebrate. Have a good time. You just got, you know, some leg in, but you can still fly. We are going to have you come back to Ohio in your 92nd year, and we're going to get you on stage somewhere, and you're just going to entertain people, and we're going to film that, and it's going to be Shecky's 9th decade. We'll come up with a better name than that, but we're gonna make this happen. That's my new goal in life, Shecky.
Yeah, but the only trouble is when I finally at this 92, when I face an audience, I'll probably get hit with something. I've been looking for a word. Won't be able to talk. The audience will be there, and I walk out, and here he is, Shecky Grin. I go,
No, no. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get you
If you can record that, that's good.
We'll get a piano player, and I'll sit there, and I'll throw in a Bill Cosby setup, and we'll nail it.
Oh, my God. Oh. No, I want to talk about, Marie Osmond. I hope she lost that 50 pounds already. I'm getting so sick of her losing 50 pounds. And then you turn to the station, and Rachel Ray is cooking. Now, I don't know between Rachel Ray's cooking and Marie Osmond's losing weight. I'm going crazy.
Oh, Shecky, we have run out of time. On behalf of a lot of people who would like to be saying this, I want to wish you the happiest 92nd birthday, and I want.
I love you, and I thank you for keeping me in the people's mind. I love that.
Well, hey, I hope you come back real soon. Have a great day Sunday, and we'll talk soon. Thank you, Shecky.
Well, let me say hello, Ohio. I love you.
Thank you, Shecky Green.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
That's for sure. So listen to the Exchange Club for topics close to you. Discuss local topics, national topics too.
Alec is going off the 10 bill in 5 years.